It's like, I mean...
You hate animals.
I don't hate animals. I love animals. I hate animal movies.
She hates animals.
I mostly hate animal movies,
like,
now, too.
I even, yeah. like, the other day when I was working on research for our show, which is coming up in 2 minutes, but I was, like, trying to just put something on Netflix or Hulu in the background just to have this, like, white noise. And I put Babe on, and I wasn't even watching it. And like 5 minutes in, I was like, "No, I can't. I can't.
I love Babe.
I'm gonna put on Clue.
Yeah, that is a good one.
But this is kind of like The Revenant without the bear raping a guy. Mm-hmm. So you know,
Revenant. See, I think it's like,
isn't it Life of Pi, where like a little boy befriends a tiger?
Yeah.
No, I hated that.
Well, that's
I couldn't
what I'm saying.
Stand
it's
that
like
movie.
I just have no. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Please stop letting Ang Lee make movies.
So we got two Rent-Its on Alpha and one Skip-It.
Yeah.
All right. We got Mission Impossible Fallout, $181 million, 4 weeks. I loved it, and I'm still see it. Derek, go ahead.
Finally saw the movie. It's freaking awesome.
Oh, good.
It's awesome. Go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise does everything in this movie. There's like one stunt in the movie that you can tell is not Tom Cruise. Everything else is definitely him.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's unbelievable how much fun this movie is.
You guys are gonna strangle me with my headphone cord.
You gotta do a Rent-It at least. No, you're still skipping it.
I don't action movies. I haven't seen. Again, don't strangle me with my headphone cord. I haven't seen a single Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen like one James Bond.
Bond.
All right.
I've only seen like one James Bond.
She's kicked out of the segment from now on.
That's all right.
I haven't seen Die Hard. We were talking about Die Hard.
How have you not seen Die Hard?
Action movies.
Die Hard's okay. Yeah.
They right over my head.
Die Hard. I'm not a huge fan.
I love mafia movies. There are people who hate mafia movies, mm-hmm. but I love them. I love gangster movies, but it's just a different strokes, different folks kind of thing.
All right. So we got two big thumbs up for that one. Two big see it's and one skip it for Mission Impossible. Again, we are in number three, Mile 22. It came out this past week. It's starring local boy, Mark Wahlberg. I don't know too much about this movie. It says an elite American intelligence officer aided by a top secret tactical man tries to smuggle a mysterious police officer with sensitive information out of the country. I'm going to go skip it. I'm not going to see this movie.
This is his fourth collaboration with Peter Berg, mm-hmm. and I love Peter Berg's movies. They did the Boston Marathon movie, Patriots Day.
Still haven't seen it.
They did the one on the about the Deepwater Horizon.
Still didn't see it.
There's another one, Soul Survivor.
Still didn't see
about
that.
About the Navy SEALs.
That's all with Mark Wahlberg.
And
I think I have a Mark Wahlberg problem.
And
I think.
It's like, all three of those movies are good. You know, mm-hmm. they're not... The thing that I liked about Patriots Day was being from Boston and knowing people involved in it and hearing a lot of the stories behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Everything in that movie is accurate. And mm-hmm. a huge credit to them for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have no interest in seeing this. And I'm like, it's a generic action movie. Like, I'd rather watch Sicario again, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So skip it for me.
Alrighty.
I'm going to refer to my answer for the previous one, which is just no interest. Not my
action
cup of tea.
Action adventure? No? Okay.
Not.
All right.
The only way I like action adventure is if there's a side of hilarious.
That's all right. You're consistent
like
on the action
like Guardians
movies.
Of the Galaxy. I will watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's more comic book movie, but there's the elements of
still,
action in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the action-iness. Yep, yep.
Number two this week is a movie called The Meg, the shark movie. 2 weeks, $83 million
nice.
It's made. So it's doing pretty well. I still haven't seen it, but I'm going to see it for this one.
Yeah, I want to see The Meg.
Skip it. Animal movie.
Oh, okay. But it's
not
a shark.
Animal movie.
It's a shark. It's
like
it's the best animal of all time.
Everything movie. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch an animal be adorable or be destructive. I just
destructive.
Across the board don't want to watch. Don't want to sit for 2 hours watching a movie.
All right,
now. Chris. Have you got any
know.
Movies where people talk about their feelings?
Oh, I think maybe Shay might like this one. Number one this week, and in the background is the score to this. It's Crazy Rich Asians. It's number one. It shows us where we are as a country now. $35.3 million. It's Crazy Rich Asians. I don't know much about this other than it's a romantic comedy and that I have no intention of seeing this movie.
I'll probably see it eventually because it apparently is actually funny.
7.7 out of 10 it's got for a rating.
Actually funny. And that's what you want out of a comedy. So, mm-hmm. But it's a Rent-It for me. Mainly because, and I want to clarify this, I never see comedies in the theater anymore.
How many Asian comedies have you seen?
Do Jackie Chan movies count?
How about Harold and Kumar? Do they count?
No, Harold and Kumar don't count.
Is one of them Asian? I mean, they're both technically Asian.
What? No.
India is part of Asia.
Yeah, sure.
And then Harold is, I believe, Korean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we don't consider India Asian in this country.
So, what do you think, Shay? What are you doing?
I'm going to go rent it on this one. Like, same thing. It's very rare. The only time I'll ever go see a comedy in theaters is if I, like, have 2 hours to kill and I'm alone because I don't care about how loud I laugh because I'm not embarrassing anyone that's with me. But, yeah, I'm going to go, like, this is one of those things, like, on a night when I'm bored and have nothing to do and don't have a show, like, it'll pop up on Netflix. I'll be like, yeah, it's got enough good ratings.
Crazy Rich Asians. I don't know. So we got to skip it and we got to rent it.
Yeah, I got to throw out a bonus.
I have a feeling I won't laugh once in this movie.
I got to throw out a bonus skip it for Happy Time Murders, which just looks atrocious.
Oh, I don't know much about that.
If you do that with your weekend, shame on you. It's the last weekend of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody, that is Watch This for this week. Stick around. The Big Picture is coming up next with Shay and Derek. And I will be off next week. See you in a couple of weeks with Watch This.
Hey, you get me next week.
And Derek will be here covering Watch This next week. And thanks again to Derek and Shay for doing See It, Rent It, Skip It. And enjoy your movies, everybody. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I'll leave you with Crazy Rich Asians in the background.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shay Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Dial those numbers into your phone. Be a part of the show. We love to hear from our listeners.
We do indeed.
Yeah, I'm not making that up. It's true. So, coming up later tonight, a couple of things going on. We're going to talk about the big newspaper thing that happened last week, which was a complete waste of everybody's time. And also the Pope weighing in on what's going on down in Philadelphia. We have an actual Catholic in the studio tonight.
Yes.
Born, bred, raised Catholic. I'm guessing
in Boston, nonetheless.
I'm guessing. Even went to a Catholic college. I'm guessing she's got some feels on this one. I'm guessing.
Not even just went to Catholic college. I was an altar server, dude.
I'm guessing she got some feels on this one.
I get
one,
all the feels.
We're going to be talking about that tonight, too. Have you seen the new Gmail, Shay Spillane?
Actually, today when I was logging onto it, it was like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do that? I just kept it with the old format. So I guess technically, no, I have not.
It is the ugliest damn thing on the planet. It's like Google beat it with the ugly stick, and I don't know why they've done this. It looks awful. It's like drab. It's monotone. They screwed up the font. So the font is now like harder to read than it used to be.
I say it's littler and lighter.
Yeah, and it's like what? Why
and
did
I'm
you do
at
this
it right now? And it looks it's almost like a throwback to when computers first came out.
Yeah,
like, that's what the buttons look like.
It's like, hey, you know that thing that that you love to use and use every single day? Yeah, we're gonna go and screw that up for you for no perfectly good reason.
I swear to God, all of these like. All of these internet companies and websites and stuff, they just get bored. Like, it's like, they don't understand the concept of if it's not broken, don't fix it. They just get bored and are like, okay, let's jazz this up because we haven't changed anything in a while, you know? Like it.
Why is my search bar now blue on a blue background? is that to make it harder to find?
You can restore it to the, I restored mine to the old composition. It's still a little bit different, but it's not as like ridiculous. Yeah,
but you know what? That's like getting back together with your college significant other, like when you're in your 30s, because you know what's going to happen. You're just going to break up again.
Hey, I did that in my 20s, not my 30s.
All you're going to get out of that is a couple of weeks of living an old dream before all your hope is shattered again.
And you're like, oh yeah, this isn't keeping me up with the times.
Public service announcement, kids. Don't get back together with your college ex. There's a reason you broke up, and the fact that you are employed and bored now is not going to change those reasons. That's hard-fought life advice for me. Shay is concurring as well.
Yes. I know this from experience.
All right, Shay, what do we got going on? Did you,
Yeah, did you hear?
It's the thing.
In the news.
It's the thing.
It's the thing with the stuff.
Death by Bunga Bunga.
For local news, I have, see if I want to make this difficult or easy for you. Narragansett Regional High School.
That's not easy for me. What was the easy one?
Child pornography.
That's what the guy at Narragansett Regional High School got caught with, right?
I was going to say, I kind of just spelled it out for you. But yes. A Massachusetts high school teacher has been arrested and charged on child pornography offenses. The teacher's name was Warren Instrom. He was only 26. And he was charged yesterday with one count each of receipt and possession of child pornography. He was a math teacher at Narragansett Regional High School in Baldwinville. And he was interviewed actually as a part of an ongoing investigation into multiple other cases using something called Kick Messenger and Dropbox. And basically when he was interviewed, he just broke down and admitted to all
of that. I have all the child porn.
Yeah, like he basically it was like, he's like, you're going to find out anyways. I can't do this. I'm just gonna tell you. I'm a giant pervert. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Which, I mean, theoretically, he might have a reduced sentence as a result, but...
No.
I mean, reduce... Well, he might have... not as a result of that if he turns over the other various people that he may have been in cahoots.
I don't know. I don't know if that works or not. I thought it was kind of like drug sentencing. You know, your sentence is based on the weight of, you know, the volume of material.
How awful
you have.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, like, if, for example, he has, I mean, there's no such thing as, like, if he doesn't have that much child pornography, yeah. Like, there's no such thing as that. But if it's one of those things where it looks like he dabbled and he was getting it from some guy who's, like, a major distributor and knew his name, that could knock some time off.
Believe it or not, there actually is. If you get caught up in one of these investigations and police find, like, an image or two on your machine, more than likely they're going to confiscate it, and they're going to be like, don't do that again, and let you off the hook, because
shame on you.
The people who they're looking for, it's this weird thing.
Well, that's why I think the drug analogy was perfect.
The people who get arrested for this, you never hear about, like, oh, he had 5 images of child porn, or he had 10 images of child. They have hard drives full of this stuff.
Yeah.
They have tens of
thousands.
It's
never just like, I was curious what child porn looks like, so I have one video.
Yeah, you don't even want to be curious about that. Video and images are different things. You got a video, you're kind of up the creek. But they hoard the stuff. And it's this sort of compulsive behavior.
It's like any other addiction.
It's like, yeah. It I don't know if people do that with regular porn or not.
Oh, I'm sure people do it with regular porn. It's just less. I mean, regular porn, as long as they're over 18, if anything, like, that's part of why I think that porn is so important. Because if anything, it's going to stop people who might otherwise engage in devious behavior from doing so.
Yeah.
But God, if you look, when I was researching the story before, I didn't see a picture. He looks like a kid himself. Like, he looks like he's fresh out of high school.
Yeah, super, super bad look when you're a high school teacher busted with the child porn.
Yeah.
That's,
I would say, it's bad to be busted with child porn, like, even if you're just a Subway spokesperson. But,
yes.
But when it's someone who directly deals with underage kids.
Yeah, when you work with children.
Oh, those poor parents. That's all. I can't imagine being a parent at that high school thinking, like, oh, my God, like, this guy.
Yeah. I think you get extra jail time for that. West Nile virus
is bad.
Yes, it is.
Yes. I'm out.
The Massachusetts Department of Public Health has issued a moderate risk warning for every city and town in the state for West Nile virus. Last week it was, oh, it's on the Cape, it's on the South Shore. Now they're like, nope, it's everywhere. And according to state epidemiologist Dr. Catherine Brown, who was speaking to the Herald, August and September are the months when they get the most West Nile cases. Because people are out and they're like, oh, it's not mosquito season anymore. Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
No, it is. And I got to throw this in as well. We'll give you a second chance here. Lass the Stork? It might be Laz the Stork, or it's Lass or Laz.
Lass or Laz.
The Stork. Stork is really what we're looking for here.
Stork.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something in my brain that read about this. This is local news, right?
Yes, this is local.
Oh, the zoo.
Yes.
The stork flew away.
Yes, the Stone Zoo.
I didn't even know that storks could, like, I thought they were like chickens where they can, like, fly sort
no,
of.
No, that's, how do you think babies get down your chimney?
No, I'm thinking of herons. Never mind.
Storks can
totally fly.
They can fly too.
Herons can fly?
Yeah, herons can fly. They're just not good at it.
I was going to say, they just look like they'd be really bad at
it. Of course storks can fly. That's how the babies get down the chimney.
Yeah.
The stone.
I love that we're just like agreeing. Like, yeah, that's a scientific fact.
Yes.
That's how babies get down chimneys.
Now, I bring this up because this is a profound local interest, actually. The Stone Zoo, which is just a couple of miles away from here, lost a stork on Friday. They were rehearsing for some Birds of Prey show, and the stork just left. the stork was just like, you know, I'm not having it. Flew off. And they're like, well, there goes the stork.
I got babies to deliver.
Because once the stork is flying off, if you're on the ground, you're sort of like,
yeah, like, what do you do? It's like if you let go of a balloon by mistake. It's like, you can't, what are you going to do? You can't jump that high.
They would like to get the stork back. And the stork was most recently spotted over the weekend at Spot Pond. Storks eat fish, frogs, insects, small mammals. It is very likely to be near water. That's where storks like to hang out. Now, you will have no trouble spotting the stork. This is a 3-foot-tall bird. This is a 3-foot-tall bird with an 8-inch-long beak.
This is the most anyone said the word stork in a 2-minute span, by the way.
That is primarily white with iridescent purple wings.
Ooh,
so
pretty.
So if you see a 3-foot-tall bird with, you see a 3-foot-tall white bird with dark wings, that's the stork. There isn't anything else in the state that looks like that. Okay, you're not mistaking this for a hawk or anything else. You see a 3-foot-tall white bird, it's the stork, and give the Stone Zoo a call. Don't approach it, don't harass it, just leave it alone. Call the Stone Zoo, 314-600-4873. That is 314-600-4873 if you happen to see the stork. If you are in the Medford area, if you are in the Stoneham area, if you are in the Wakefield area, the Reading area, Winchester, it's entirely possible that this thing is somewhere around. So if you're one of these people that likes to walk the ponds or walk the lakes or whatever, keep an eye out.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll come over.
And don't try to catch it because If professionals couldn't catch it,
the Stone Zoo people,
big fat, cannot
come by and shoot it with tranquilizers and take it away.
Okay, national news: Molly Tibbetts.
Molly Tibbetts, softball. 20-year-old University of Iowa student was murdered. Her body was found by Christian Bahara Rivera, a 24-year-old Mexican national who has been living illegally in the country for between 4 and 7 years.
See, here's what's interesting, though. So it was originally released that he was living here illegally and working here illegally. It has since, both via his lawyer and through his employer, come to light that supposedly he technically was not living here illegally. Not that that's neither here nor there. The fact remains that he murdered an innocent person.
What they said specifically was that he passed the government background check for workers, and all that means is that he had a fake ID.
Well,
that's all that means. He had a fake ID.
Say, that's the thing is, apparently, whichever farm he worked for is kind of a bigwig in Iowa. Yes, apparently those do exist. But this guy came out saying, no, it was all on the books. It was all da-da-da-da-da-da. But you're right. He led authorities to her body, which it's crazy to think that it's been over a month.
He saw her jogging, started following her in his car, got out of his car, started jogging with her. She threatened to call the police because he was being super creepy and invasive.
One does.
And at this point,
threatened to call the police, not act super creepy.
At this point, according to his statement, he blacked out and came to, realizing that he had a girl's dead body in his trunk.
Oh, he blacked out. That's so convenient.
He blacked out, yeah. This obviously happening ahead of the midterm elections is going to be political fodder for one party. Not for the other party. And it's a shame because there is zero... The fact that this guy is an illegal immigrant is not the problem.
I'm going to say it's really, in this case, very... It's neither here nor there.
If he was a member of MS-13 and he did this, then I'm like, well, can we please go round up all the Salvadorans between certain ages who are male? You know, not all the Salvadorans, but anyone who fits the profile of MS-13 member, I'm more than happy to round them all up and throw them out of the country.
Yeah.
Or throw them in jail, or launch them into the sun, or do something worthy of their crimes.
Yes.
This guy is any one of thousands of lone nut bars walking around our country who will rape and murder somebody given the opportunity, and it happens to be that he's an illegal immigrant.
I was going to say, that's the thing, is that it's as trivial a fact about him as if he was 6'2".
Yeah.
Or he was missing a pinky. Or it's something that has nothing to do with the actual act. And there are, like you said, there are plenty of people living here legally that would commit the exact same crime. And on the flip side, there are plenty of people who are living here illegally that it would be beyond their most terrifying dreams to even consider doing something like this.
Yeah.
I agree with you in that it's going to be something that people who are against, people who want to build the wall and all of that, are going to point and be like, look at what this guy did. He's illegal, and look at what he did. But it's like, he's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
And as is anybody who would commit such a horrendous crime, it has nothing to do with whether, I mean, there are plenty of apple pie eating American citizens who are as sick as this guy.
Yeah.
Him being an immigrant has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Can you make the argument that Molly Tibbetts would be alive today if this man was not in the country illegally? Yes, you can. That is a factual statement. However, what you can't do is extrapolate that out to every other illegal immigrant who is in this country, or every other immigrant who is in this country.
Yeah, to say that occurred because he's an illegal immigrant. It did not. Well, and I mean, on the flip side of that, you could say, all right, well, what if there's an American over in Ireland who's raping and murdering women? You could say the same argument where it's, oh, well, if he was still in America, then these women wouldn't have been raped and killed.
Yeah.
If this man was, where was he from? Ecuador?
Mexico.
Mexico. I don't know where I get Ecuador from, but if this man was still in Mexico, he'd probably be raping and killing women there.
Yeah.
It has nothing to, the two are completely unrelated, and I know that people are going to point to this as though they're very much related.
Yeah, and it's, as I say, you know, if you want to make the argument that Molly Tibbetts would be alive if he hadn't been in the country, that's fine, that's fair. If you want to try and say, we should get rid of all the illegals because of this, no, that's not fair, okay? You're talking about one guy, and you know, they're trying to pump this up on Fox. You know, they're doing the whole,
oh, of course,
well, here's the illegals again, and, you know.
We were right.
But all the guests that they're bringing in are just like, that's stupid. That's not what really happened here. The vast majority of Americans are smart enough to understand that this man is not emblematic of the Mexican people. Mm-hmm. And he is not emblematic of all illegal immigrants in this country. Is illegal immigration a problem? Yes, it is. Is it a problem because illegal aliens are raping and murdering our white girls? No, it's not. And if that is your view,
you're an idiot.
You need to stop hanging around with whoever put that thought in your head. You need to stop reading whoever's reinforcing that for you. And go read some statistics. Go read some FBI statistics. Go read some government statistics. Go educate yourself. Because ignorance can be cured. Ignorance really can be cured. And it doesn't take a lot of work.
Yeah, it really, I mean, that's the beauty of how ignorance can be cured, is it can literally be as quick and easy as someone proverbially knocking you in the head and being like, hey, dummy. Like, that's, I mean, I've talked about it on the show before. I grew up, you know, I grew up in a very Irish Catholic area. The only people I knew growing up were Irish, Italian, or Chinese. Like, I knew little tiny, tiny amounts of any other type of person. And it took, you know, 2 days in college to be like, oh, everyone isn't Catholic. There are people who aren't white or Asian. Like, it can take just having someone, like, just point to you and go, adoy. Like, that's as simple as it is. And it's, I mean, I'm a living example of the fact that you can, for lack of a better term, recover from being ignorant and being, to be generous, being naive about this sort of thing.
Yeah. I know, I don't.
But yeah, the sheer fact that somebody is, that anybody would try to say, try to put, well, this because this.
I know I don't need to say this to our listeners because our listeners are smart. and our listeners are not, you know, gonna fall for that stupid line of reasoning. But you probably know someone who will. And, you know, throw a book at them. Just give them a book. Just say, you know what, go read something.
Yeah, like,
go read anything.
Like, literally any book. Like, hand them a Judy Blume novel.
If I can't fix your ignorance about this, like, learn shop. You know, like learn how to fix an engine. Like, let me teach you something useful. So that maybe some part of you.
And maybe you'll be too busy to open your mouth and say the nonsense that you're tempted to say.
Yeah. Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen, yes. So, Michael Cohen is the former lawyer of Donald Trump, who has pleaded guilty to tax evasion, bank fraud, and campaign finance violations, and admitted that he made hush money payments to women at Trump's direction.
Yes, he did. And in his statement, this is the important line, so we've been told. In his statement to the court as he entered his plea, he said that he committed these crimes, which he said he knew he was doing illegal things,
mm-hmm.
Quote, in coordination and at the direction of a candidate for federal office, end quote. This is not a mystery who the candidate is, by the way, folks.
I was going to say, that's what I love. An unnamed candidate in 2016. My goodness, who could that possibly be? Especially considering the payment was $150,000. So you have to, or at least one of the payments was $150,000. So you have to sit there and be like, someone's running for office.
Yeah.
Who is rich enough to have that 150 grand just lying around for hush money?
Now,
even if you weren't smart enough to be like, obviously it was Trump he's talking about, powers of deduction.
If you had the misfortune to watch Lawrence O'Donnell last
night. Or deductive reasoning, rather.
If you had the misfortune to watch Lawrence O'Donnell last night, I'm pretty sure Lawrence wasn't wearing any pants under the desk. And he had a big smile on his face and gloating, just gloating through the broadcast. And you could just sort of see it in his eyes, like, we got him. We're going to get Trump. We're going to get Trump. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because there's a couple of problems here. Number one, Donald Trump did not necessarily do anything illegal. Okay? It is not illegal to pay someone to be quiet. People get blackmailed all the time. And people pay hush money all the time. And people give money to sign NDAs to not talk about things all the time.
Yeah.
That's what Donald Trump did. The problem that we have with this is that Michael Cohen comes out and he's like, I did this to influence the election. Well, that's your opinion. That's not a statement of fact. And Michael Cohen, by the way, not a reliable narrator. To say the least, okay? The reason they got Cohen is because Cohen was using his... He owns all these taxi medallions down in New York City. And he's got this Ukrainian guy who they're calling the godfather of the medallions to run all these cabs for him. And the feds got the godfather of the medallions, the godfather of the cabbies, on like a dozen different charges. And they got him to flip on Cohen.
Yeah.
And start talking about
it. As these things usually go.
Among other things.
Like we were just talking about. It's like the little guy is going to get off. The little guy is going to get off more easily if he has a big guy to point at.
And, among other things, Cohen is using these taxi medallions to commit acts of bank fraud. So they get him on that. And they're like, you're going to go to jail for this. This guy's going to drop a dime on you. And Michael Cohen, in true rat fashion, you know, is like, oh, wait, I can dime out somebody else. And if you can dime out somebody bigger, they're interested. And in this case, it is the Stormy Daniels payment. And it is the, what's the name of the other one here? The Karen McDougal payment.
Yeah, I was going to say Karen McDougal.
So Stormy Daniels got a $130,000 check from a home equity loan taken out by Michael Cohen. Karen McDougal was paid $150,000 by the publisher of the National Enquirer for her story and was then reimbursed by Michael Cohen, acting on behalf of President Trump. These things happened around October of 2016. Michael Cohen says they were done to, quote-unquote, influence the election. That's why he did them. On that basis, because he says I did this to influence the election, he is up on two charges of campaign finance fraud for making excessive donations to a political campaign. He gave $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, gave $150,000 to the National Enquirer. Your personal donations to a campaign are capped at like $1,500, I think. That's the most you can give. So that's what they've got him on. The only problem is that's more or less unprecedented. What he did is not necessarily illegal. They have defined it as illegal because Michael Cohen, not a reliable source, has said this was done to influence the outcome of the election. You would have to prove that first. And you would have to prove that Donald Trump knew that at the time that he reimbursed Cohen. And then you would have to prove that it had a material, that it would have had a material outcome on the election had that information come forward.
Well, and as you said, it's a matter of this is his version of the story. The truth, I don't believe for a moment that there was nothing corrupt about this entire situation. That being said, the extent to which he implies that it was corrupt, that it was illegal, that it was in poor taste, however you want to put it, is, you know, the truth always lies somewhere in the middle. It's just like I saw I, Tonya in theaters, but then I was rewatching it the other day because it came out on Hulu. And I'm watching it, and you know the whole Nancy Kerrigan incident. They, you know, her husband, Jeff Galluli, is saying, oh, she knew about the entire thing. And then she's saying, well, I had absolutely no idea. It was news to me when it came. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Whereas, like, in this situation, for example, there's a chance that it was as simple as, well, this Stormy person's going to drop a dime on you. Oh, go take care of it. That could have been the whole interaction.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I'm the last person in the world to ever in any way defend Donald Trump. But I do think that in this case, especially given the fact that, as we said, given the fact that it's him being like, oh, here's someone else I can point to who's, it's like a bigger deal that he did this than me, so maybe that'll make me look not as bad. The sheer fact that that's a factor here, it says, all right, well, there's probably some truth to the fact that something corrupt happened here, something not too kosher happened here, but it's probably not to the extent that he is implying.
Some of this...
Or not even probably, but it's potentially... not to the extent that he's implying, or at least not in the context that he is giving it.
One of the real challenges they're going to have here if they try and prosecute President Trump on this, which they may not be able to.
Ugh, it still makes me sick hearing President Trump. Sorry, keep going.
One of the real problems that you have here is trying to separate what was done for the campaign versus the business of being Donald Trump.
Yeah, like separating it from that he was running for president.
Donald Trump attracts a certain type of publicity-seeking, fame-seeking, money-seeking individual into his life. If that individual is attractive enough, he attempts to put his penis inside of her. And some of these women are more than happy to do that because they think they're going to get opportunity out of it. And then when they don't, they will turn around and try and blackmail him. I am sure there are lots of payments that have gone out to lots of women. And the fact that this is happening around the campaign is no different from an average Tuesday in Trump Tower.
I was going to say, that's the thing, is that it's, I mean, this is a weird parallel to make, but just as we were talking about how the man who murdered Hillary, is that her first name?
Molly
Tibbetts. I don't know why I thought Hillary. But the same thing where we were saying, you know, the fact that he's an illegal immigrant is neither here nor there in terms of this.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing where it's the fact that he was running for president is probably neither here nor there. It probably had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he was running for president. More just the general, I'm Donald Trump, I need to have this certain image. Well, and we need to ensure that this is maintained.
I'm sure for the opportunistic personalities involved in this, you know, your Stormy Daniels and your Karen McDougal.
He's one of the richest men in the world.
The fact that he's running for president provides a little, you know, maybe a little added incentive to come forward because you know you're going to get a bigger payday. But in no case is that about the election itself. If this is taking place after the Access Hollywood tape came out, I'm sorry, the American people already made up their mind by that point.
Yeah.
Didn't stop him from winning. And a couple more women coming out and saying, I slept with Donald Trump, isn't going to make a difference. You remember, there were about 8 women that came out that said, Donald Trump sexually harassed me. Where are they now? That all disappeared pretty quick. You would have to, if you wanted to get Donald Trump on this, you would have to prove that, number one, he thought this would impact the outcome of the election. Number two, he personally directed these payments to be made. And number three, he knew it was a violation of campaign finance rules.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to nail him, number four, he used campaign money. But there is no suggestion anywhere. If you find out that he used campaign money for this, that's a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-no and have at him. The other thing that I'll say is, given history, I find all of this to be far less damaging, far less worrying, far less of an abuse than Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice coming out and saying Benghazi was the result of a video that was posted online. If you want to talk about something that had a material impact on an election, that was a brazen act of corruption, let's talk about 2012 and what Barack Obama did to play cover my ass after his arms dump in Libya, or the CIA's, I won't say it's his arms dump, it was the CIA's arms dump in Libya, got overrun by some local rebels, and 3 Americans got killed.
Mm.
When you put this next to Benghazi, this doesn't look like that much. This is minor league stuff. This is the business of being a celebrity.
I was going to say, and that's, I think that that's the ultimate thing, is that it'd be one thing if the people that this money was going to were like, if it came out that he paid Elizabeth Warren $150,000 or someone who was absolutely, we're talking about a porn star and a Playboy bunny.
Yeah.
Like, it's no offense, ladies, but I mean, come on. You're not exactly political operatives here. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I said, you know that I'm the last person to ever defend Trump. That being said, this is a little.
Yeah.
The only word I can think of is trite. It's a little trite.
Pretty much.
Okay, in world news, I'm going to say Nazi.
Did I completely forget to put world news in here? Holy cow.
It's okay if you did. I have two.
No, I've got world news. I just don't, I just didn't write anything down. Nazi. Nazi.
And we're talking, just to push you further, we're talking.
Oh, is this the video?
Classic Nazi, if you will.
Is this the video game thing?
Nope.
Because the Germans recently...
That would be the weirdest phrase I've ever said. Classic Nazi.
Yeah, because the Germans... Oh. There was a Nazi deported from somewhere in South America back to Germany. No?
Not South America.
Philippines?
Here. Nope. He lived here.
Oh, we had a Nazi?
Yep. The last known Nazi collaborator that was living in the U.S. was deported to Germany overnight. Jacques Palige, who was 95... had been living in New York City for decades. He was actually a guard at a Nazi forced labor camp during the Second World War. In a statement released by the White House after he landed in Germany early yesterday, President Trump commended the actions of Immigration and Customs Enforcement for, quote, removing this war criminal from United States soil, end quote. Palige, who was actually Ukrainian, but... you know, fought for the German army, lived quietly in the U.S. for years as a draftsman and then as a retiree. But then 3 decades ago, investigators found his name on an old Nazi roster, and then a fellow former guard basically, as we were just talking about, like what Cohen did, basically like thought that he could get off lighter if he spilled that someone higher up than him was living somewhere in America.
So they
like connected the dots. It's just that, so this was nearly 3 decades ago that they first started investigating this guy. And now finally, 30 years later, gave him the boot. I mean, it is, I'm not trying to say he should have been able to stay, because obviously like Nazism was one of the worst fascist movements in our history. But he was 95.
But he's an immigrant, you know, and it's if we find out that you're, you know, a war criminal, we're not going to keep you in our country.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yes, he's 95.
But there are still people, I know, I understand. And especially like, you know, I'm Catholic. I really have nothing that I can say about this, because I can't even begin to imagine the still very real repercussions of the Holocaust and of World War II.
Yeah.
But it's just, I do just find it, funny is the wrong word, but it's just, it is a bit comical to picture this like 95-year-old, like little recovering Nazi, if you will, I mean, getting deported. And I mean, it's like, haha, I just don't really get how, and President Trump did elaborate saying that, you know, he was the only president that was able to get it done. And whenever he says stuff like that all the time, and whenever he does, I am sitting there just being like, oh, shut up. Yeah. But in this case, I mean, they've had the information since, since Clinton, since Reagan.
30 years ago would
30
be...
30 years ago would be Reagan.
30 years ago would be Bush 1.
Oh, yeah, Bush 1. You're right. I was going to say, because Reagan was when I was born, and then Bush 1 started in 88.
Yeah. Bush 1 started in 89, actually, so it might have been late.
So it might have been late Reagan.
But nobody was paying attention.
I was gonna say he was just eating jelly beans at that point.
Yeah, everybody was just kind of sitting around, like,
yeah, just like, let's just
government.
Let's just slide this right on into you not being president anymore.
Aramco. Yeah, this broke late this afternoon.
I was gonna say that might be why I have no idea what you're talking about. Aramco. No, I don't know.
You should know what Aramco is.
I mean, it's a I mean, it's a company, right?
Yeah, well, yes.
It's a... something in the Middle East. Sorry, I have something in my eyelash.
Pretty big company. It is the state-owned oil.
Oh yeah, it's the oil
company.
People.
It's basically in the same way that Citgo.
The oil people. That's the technical term. I went to college, guys.
In the same way that Citgo is Venezuelan oil, Aramco is Saudi Arabian.
All of
their oil ships through this company called Aramco. Late today, it has been reported that Saudi Arabia has canceled plans for an initial public offering of stock locally and on the international market for Aramco. We talked about this, I think, back in February when it was first announced.
Yeah.
That, you know, part of the big reforms that were coming in Saudi Arabia were going to be funded by the Saudis for the first time ever, allowing investment directly in Aramco. And they had valued the company at $2 trillion. They supply a good chunk of the world's oil. Because of disputes over that valuation, because of disputes over which stock exchanges should be allowed to list the stock, because of disputes over which banks should be involved with this, the whole thing has been put on hold right now. Everybody's been sent home as of the end of June, and word is just getting out now that this thing is pretty much on hold, we believe now, indefinitely, and very unlikely to happen, according to some analysts. So, Andres, if you were hoping to buy in on the ground level of Saudi Arabian oil, sorry.
Better luck next time.
Not going to get the opportunity.
Okay, in entertainment news, the Eagles.
This is a win for my generation, I think.
I was going to say, I knew you'd like this one.
I don't know, because it's, you know... But anyway...
Were you kind of hoping it was a band that was not the Eagles?
The Eagles' Greatest Hits is now the best-selling album of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
at 38 times platinum, which means that it sold 38 million copies.
It has passed a previous number one holder, Michael Jackson's Thriller, which was an album of my teenage years... and the way that they figured this out is they've started counting streams alongside physical record sales. Mm-hmm. So when you add in all of the streams, apparently the Eagles get streamed more because God knows everybody's got to listen to freaking Desperado. The Eagles get streamed more than Michael Jackson does.
Well, that's what's funny is that honestly, like... I mean, I was always kind of, when I was a teenager and stuff, I was always kind of like an old soul musically, you know, like my parents' friends would be like, so what kind of music do you listen to? I'd tell them, they'd be like, that stuff I listened to when I was your age 30 years ago. But I have noticed like my cousins who are like in their late teens, early 20s, they dig the Eagles.
Oh yeah.
Like even more so than like they're more likely to have the Eagles on their iTunes than, like you said, like than Michael Jackson or than even like the Beatles. Like there's something about the Eagles that apparently is just very cross-generational, if that's how you want to put it. That's what I mean. I won't lie, I was shocked when I read this. That's why I was like, oh my God, I have to include this because Derek will love this so much.
You know every song on this album.
Of course.
You know every song on this album.
I would say, well, and that's the other thing about the Eagles is that even if you don't know that you're an Eagles fan, it's so weird, the more I say it, the more I'm picturing Philadelphia football, but a fan of the band the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's they're one of those bands, and I think there's a lot of bands like that, like Steve Miller Band's another one, where like you like a song by them without knowing that it's them, and you'll download it without even realizing who the Eagles are. And I'm not saying you or I'm saying like my 20-year-old cousin who has the Eagles on her iTunes, like,
right.
Like you said, like Desperado, let's see, it's Take It Easy, the Eagles.
Take It Easy is on this.
Take It Easy is the Eagles.
Here's your track list. By the way, The two Eagles songs that you know the best and love the most are not on here. And
really?
That's Hotel California and Heartache Tonight are not on this album.
I can't listen to Hotel. I had a boyfriend who was obsessed with that song, would make us listen to it on repeat. I'm like, it's not that good a song.
Those are the only two but here's what's on it. Take It Easy. Running down the road trying to loosen my load. Yeah.
Seven women on my mind.
Witchy Woman. Lion Eyes. Already Gone. Desperado.
Of course.
Why don't you, come like, that's to the one your senses?
That's the one that, like, I mean, leave Hotel California off, but Desperado is like the Eagles calling card.
Side two, One of These Nights, Tequila Sunrise.
One of These Nights.
Take It to the Limit, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, and Best of My Love. Best of My Love is probably the worst song on the album and the one that people are like, eh.
See, this is what I mean. It's like, I didn't even realize that Take It to the Limit was an Eagles song. I know that song very well, but I didn't know that it was an Eagles song. And that's what I'm saying, is there's a lot of songs that are just, especially, you know, they get used on a lot of soundtracks. A lot of people cover their stuff because I'm not saying that it's simple music trying to say that it's not good, but I'm saying it's like the way that the melodies and the way that the songs are structured, it's very easy to cover it and taking it in a different direction. You know what I mean?
Now, you also know every song on Thriller.
Of course.
Wanna Be Starting Something? Great song. Like, great old school, like, soul. Baby Be Mine.
I was going to say, that's where you're like, yeah, he worked for Motown.
The Girl Is Mine with Paul McCartney. Thriller. Everybody knows Thriller. Beat It. Billie Jean. Human Nature. PYT.
See, I didn't
Pretty
realize.
Pretty Young Thing.
I didn't realize all of those were on Thriller.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know all those songs, but.
And it's like, here's the thing. Here's where I think they get this wrong, okay? There should be two categories here. There should be top-selling original album, and there should be top-selling,
like, greatest hits,
greatest hits compilation, whatever it is. Because everything on Thriller, those songs were, like, Thriller by itself is a greatest hits album.
I was just
going
to say, everything on Thriller could be a greatest hits album.
Yeah, but it's only gone 28 times platinum versus 34 times for the Eagles' greatest hits. But the Eagles' greatest hits is like a compilation album.
I would say, it's being like, here's all the best stuff we did on one album.
Yeah.
Whereas with Michael Jackson, that happened by mistake,
like, this,
with Thriller.
Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones sat down and, like, made this thing. And it's ridiculous how good this album is. And the album that came before it, Off the Wall, is also ridiculously good. If you like Wanna Be Starting Something, you go listen to Off the Wall, because most of Off the Wall sounds like that song.
Now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head for the rest of the night.
Since you want to be starting something, you got to be starting something. Since you want to be starting something, got to be starting something. Asia Argento.
Argento. So that is the Italian actress that was accused of having sexual relations with a young Italian actor shortly after his 17th birthday.
And she wasn't just accused.
She denied it at first, but now pictures have been released of that are very clearly them selfies of them naked in bed together.
Yeah, Asia paid $380,000 to Jeremy Bennett. Or Jimmy Bennett, rather. Jimmy Bennett was in the Star Trek reboot. He's been in a bunch of stuff. When he was 7, he was in... This is where this gets so Hollywood.
Oh, I'm going to get really creeped out, aren't I?
When he was 7 years old, he played Asia Argento's son in a film called The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things.
Oh, man.
They maintained a friendship for years. And when he was 17, they wound up alone in a hotel room and things happened. Now, Asia Argento maintains that he had an infatuation with her, that he raped her, on and on and on, and that Anthony Bourdain, dearly departed Anthony Bourdain, was the one who told her to pay the $380,000.
Just to make it go away.
Asia Argento is also one of the chief Harvey Weinstein accusers. Now, Jimmy Bennett has a radically different view of what happened between the two of them. And this thing is just a giant, giant mess. There were some text messages between Asia Argento and a friend, unidentified, probably Rose McGowan, who has distanced herself from Argento since this, where Asia Argento basically says, I was with a 33-year-old man when I was 17. What's the big deal? And one of the things about Asia Argento is her dad is a legendary filmmaker, one of my favorite directors of all time. Maybe not the best parent. She grew up in a very dysfunctional household in Italy, in Rome. And her father and her mother were both at the height of Italian society. We know, if you've seen Eyes Wide Shut, you kind of know what goes on at the height of Italian society. So she grew up in a very libertinous environment. to put it gently. And as an adult, her behavior a lot of times has raised a lot of questions.
I was going to say, I'm reading these text messages right now between her and her friend, which, like you said, I mean, one can assume that it may be Rose McGowan.
Yeah.
And what's up with the photo taken in bed? I think that's one that will be harder to cushion. Images are annoyingly assumption nation. And she says, you can't see my expletive for breasts. That's all. It doesn't mean expletive. He is standing up. And then, as you said, Derek, the next ones are great. When I was 17, I was with a 33-year-old man for years. I had just turned 17. If I lose my job, I will move to Africa or the Amazon forest. I want to be among the 90% of the world that doesn't give an expletive about this expletive.
Yeah.
This is not the reaction of somebody who fully grasps the weight of this.
No, I don't think Aja really grasps the weight of personal relationships much
period.
At all.
Yeah.
And knowing a great deal about her family, being a fan of her father and mother, like, they divorced when she was young. They fought constantly. They had a very bitter and difficult relationship. And Aja has never been in a stable relationship in her entire life.
Well,
really.
Well, she's also, I mean, you said that they worked together when the actor and the young actor in question, when he was what, 12?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
These text messages open with, I had sex with him. It felt weird. I didn't know he was a minor until the shakedown letter. Bull! First of all, that's just bull. If you worked with him when he was seven, I mean, any idiot can, you know the ages of the actors that you work with.
I will say
generally,
this.
Generally, at least.
I will cut a European a break for sleeping with someone over the age of 16 in this country and not knowing that it's illegal. Because pretty much anywhere you go in Europe, 16 is fair game.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, maybe she knows he's 17 and doesn't realize he's a minor. The problem is you played his mom in a movie.
I was going to say, that was going to be my second part.
You played his mom in a movie.
You get how, even if he was of age, that's weird and gross.
Yeah.
Like, even if this wasn't a statutory rape thing, ew.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Phoenix family here, you know? So, here's the thing. This has no bearing whatsoever on what may or may not have happened to her as far as Harvey Weinstein is concerned. But the thing that does become a concern, and this doesn't impact the broader Me Too movement. You know, there's people out there now who are like, well, say goodbye to Me Too. Look, she's a child molester too. And it's like, no.
Well, it's a little different.
Both things can be true. She can be a victim and an abuser. And because she's an abuser does not mean she loses her rights to justice as a victim. The problem here, the real problem here, is that confronted with something she may have done that is a problem, she yells rape. Her default response to the press, to the public, is, he raped me.
I don't want to say discredits, but that does cast a shadow over what was probably a very real case of sexual assault.
That's the question that comes in. And now it's like, wait a minute, what's your definition of rape? And I'm not saying we shouldn't believe her. I'm not saying that her story isn't true. I'm saying that her credibility takes a massive, massive hit when she reacts like this. Because people are going to look at that and they're going to be like, wait a minute. You had sex with a minor and then turned around and said he raped you. You're a 33-year-old woman. He's a 17-year-old high school student.
Yeah.
And not, she's like, he's bigger than I am, and I froze. And it's like, you know, you said the same things about Harvey Weinstein. Where are we going here?
And ultimately, like I said, I mean, she's trying to say he's standing up in these pictures. This is, listeners, just type in Asia Argento or Asia, I never know how to pronounce it.
Asia
Argento type it into Google. First thing that comes up, she's not wearing a shirt and she is leaning her. You don't. If someone, as someone who's been sexually assaulted, if someone is my sexual assaulter, I'm not taking a selfie with them, with me lovingly leaning my head in and snuggling up to them. That's not, that is not what, that is not what that looks like.
Not attacking the Me Too movement, not saying we don't believe anybody.
No,
I'm saying that
not at all.
We now have some questions that need to be answered as far as Asia Argento is concerned. This is WMFO Medford. Need to say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sports. Oh, I never care about this.